shackles of yesterday. Shoulder to shoulder into the fray, our daughters' daughters will adore us, and they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done, sister suffragette. From Kensington to Billingsgate, one hears the restless cries from every corner of the land. Womankind, arise! Political equality and equal rights with men. Take heart, for Mrs. Pankhurst has been clapped in irons again. No more the meek and mild subservience we. We're fighting for our rights militantly. Never you fear! The shackles of yesterday, and shoulder to shoulder into the fray. Our daughters' daughters will adore us, and they'll sing in grateful chorus. Well done, well done, well done, sister suffragette.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Hello and welcome to Belfield on Broadway. My name is Sarah Malloy and we're back again for week 2 of the semester. And first of all, tiny bit of housekeeping, just in case anybody doesn't know, and I'm sure if you're listening back to this like tomorrow or the next day or whatever, all our podcasts are available on iTunes and all of your friendly neighbourhood podcast hosters. Get it on your phone, whatever you have. Listen to my podcast. It's the best thing ever. I'm very excited about this. Big shout out to Andrew Lambert for getting me on iTunes, because I wouldn't be able to do that on my own. I know nothing. So back to today. Today I have probably my favorite person in the world on the radio. Her mic's not on yet, but she is yelling at me. I have been wanting to have this gorgeous human on the radio since I started. So today, here we are. And I'm so glad. I'm so, so glad, because in case I haven't mentioned it enough times this week, this year, I am graduating. Well, touch wood. Touch wood, I'm graduating, so I won't have a chance to do this again next year. So, in our last semester of Belfield on Broadway, please, everybody, put a really big, warm welcome hands together for Miss Josephine Leahy.
Thanks, Sarah. That was really nice.
No problem. So, Josephine, backstory, how do we know each other?
Tell me. We know each other because...
give him a shout out.
In first year, I was... I still am really good friends with an ex-boyfriend of yours.
Thank you.
And he had been telling me about you, and he was like, oh, she's in UCD. I think she does... I had a music module or a music elective.
For some reason.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I think she's in that. And I went up and introduced myself to you on the day that you had actually broken up.
Yes.
And I then, the same day, I literally went to meet my friend, Andy.
It was a very amicable breakup, I should clarify.
Oh, it was lovely, yeah. Nicest breakup I've ever seen.
Yeah, me too.
And I went to meet him. And I just gushed at him for about 5 minutes, being like, oh, I met your girlfriend, Sarah. She's so nice. And he just kind of sat there. And at the end of me, like, gushing, he was like, yeah, we actually broke up yesterday. So that was how we met, basically.
Yeah, you have some great timing there, Jose. Yeah, so that was how we met. And it was friendship, love at first sight.
Absolutely.
Because we're still best buds.
We are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
So, Josephine, why are you here today? Actually, wait, not yet. What do you do in college?
I do English and linguistics.
And are you enjoying that?
I am enjoying it. Yeah,
yay,
it's good.
That's what we like to hear. And you're third year, like me?
Kind of. It's weird because I was originally doing French and English. Mm-hmm. But French is really hard to learn in college. French. Learning a second language in college is really hard. Yeah. You only see your lecture for like 8 hours a week. So I switched this year to linguistics. So I'm in final year English, so I'll finish English this year, and then next year I'll still be here finishing off linguistics.
Fabulous. You get another year.
Get another year, yeah.
I'm so jealous. I wish I was here for another year.
It's just another year not being in Donegal, so I'll take it.
Take that over anything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so Now, back to the original question. Why are you here, Jess?
I'm here because you messaged me yesterday being like...
Very excited.
Please come on my radio show and talk about your favourite musical. And as I was like saying to you earlier, like kind of like an influx of like loads of ones like came to my mind. Because I originally thought Heathers, because that's a great musical, but I've never actually seen the musical. I've seen the film, but haven't seen the musical. And then I was suddenly remembered about a musical I have seen, Mary Poppins. And it's kind of, I suppose, topical because of like with the Mary Poppins Returns this year as
well. Absolutely. So all great reasons. So you're absolutely right, Mary Poppins. So what is your interaction, your knowledge, your own story with Mary Poppins?
Well, I think because I asked my parents what was the first film I'd ever seen. And they didn't know, but they think that it's either Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or Mary Poppins.
Those are two very common, like,
super common
childhood movies for people our age, I think.
I think it's because my dad, like, my dad always says, because he grew up in, like, the 60s / 70s, but at Christmas, like, an RT Chitty Chitty Bang Bang would just be playing, like, twice a day, every day. So I think he just showed it to us because he was,
That's
like...
That's fair.
Yeah, and so it was either one of those, but Mary Poppins, I just kind of remember seeing it for the first time, being like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
This is nice.
Oh, man, I can never watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I think it's terrifying.
Child Snatcher?
Yeah, the Child Snatcher just gets my... I'm scared.
So. I just love the breakfast thing, you know, the thing with the fry when he, like, had all the sausages on conveyor belts because the dad was an inventor.
Yeah, what's that called?
I cannot remember.
Oh, I was trying to remember this the other day as well. One of those, you know, when you put loads of contraptions together and I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, because my dad used to make fries. That's the only thing he can, like, cook. Yeah. Fries, specifically poached eggs.
Oh,
and,
that used to
remind me of him. And then also, he had a car when my sister and I were small, which we called Truly Scrumptious.
Love
after
it.
Yeah, so...
herself.
And then after herself, and then Truly Scrumptious actually sadly got scrapped, which is... Yeah, which is, like, mildly traumatic. My sister cried. It was,
In, like, 20 years, a therapist will pinpoint that moment.
Yeah, that's where it all went wrong.
That's where it went downhill. Wow. Okay, so we're not talking about Chitty Chitty.
No, sorry, Mary Poppins.
We're talking about Mary Poppins. The movie is your first kind of interaction with it. I was the same. My granddad used to have a video of Mary Poppins, and it was, you know, classic, like, was it actually? I'm trying to remember. I think it was, like, taped off the telly.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it was a chunky, like, tape. And it was, like, he had, like, hundreds and hundreds of tapes, but none of them were kids' movies because, like, he just... didn't have any. He had Mary Poppins, that was it. So whenever we'd come up, like, that was the entertainment, but, like, we didn't care because it was the best movie ever. Like, I love that movie.
Similarly, it's funny because my granny and granddad, I was the first granddaughter, so I had, like, two older cousins who were both boys, so
that
they had no, like,
happy,
quote unquote, girl stuff. So I used to watch Batman animated series.
Beautiful.
Which I still love, so
kind of stuff that you get in childhood, it really sticks with you, doesn't it?
It does,
and, like, it has, like, weird repercussions and stuff you don't recognize. Not repercussions, but, like, you know,
weird consequences,
consequences
in your adults.
Yeah, or like I remember I hadn't seen Mary Poppins in yonks, and I watched it probably, like, last year.
Yeah,
and, like, I can quote it word for word, you know, every single song, every single shot. I'm like, I know exactly what's gonna happen next, and, like, things like that, like little jokes that you didn't get when you were younger. And, like, I remember, probably because I'd never met a Cockney person when I first watched it, I didn't know the Dick Van Dyke's accent was terrible,
because I hadn't watched it, like, in a few years, whenever I'd, like, heard people, like, ragging on about his accent, I was like, what?
It's like, really? Is it that bad? But then you watch it, and you're like, whoa, okay,
but
yeah, bad.
What's so lovely about it is, like, he's just, like, such a good sport about it. He's like, it was awful. Yeah. It was really bad.
And, like, he's such a lovely, lovely, I feel like Dick Van Dyke would be, like, the best granddad ever.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, I feel like I would be so happy if he would just, like, mind me for a year or something. And I'm, like, a full-grown adult. I'm
fully,
like,
fledged.
Mind me. Please.
Not that it should be the inverse, considering he's like 93.
Exactly. He'll be like, bring me my tablets. And be like, okay, but then will you pat my head? Yeah.
But I think that's like the cool thing about Mary Poppins is like the longevity of it.
Absolutely.
Like, it's because like
it's
I was
so
even,
timeless.
Because my mom, my dad, my sister and I, we went to go see the new like Mary Poppins Returns in the cinema.
What did you think?
I really loved it.
Me too.
I really loved it. And I loved Emily Blunt as her.
Yeah.
Because, well, Emily Blunt said like in interviews that she didn't watch, like only read the books, like the original books. And I think people forget
that. Have you read the books?
I actually haven't read the books.
No, me neither.
Apparently the books are quite dark.
Yeah, they get like
lot
serious.
Darker.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I thought she just kind of did her own thing with it, which was, but Emily Blunt is great.
She
anyway.
Is great. I think she's brilliant.
She was perfect.
She's so talented.
Because it was funny, because I was asking my, or I don't even know if I asked my mum or she just said that like, my mum went to see it in 1965 in a cinema in Derry.
Whoa.
Because my mum grew up in Donegal.
Yeah, of course.
And with my granny and granddad. And my granny and granddad were like really into music. My granny taught herself how to play the accordion.
No.
But so she has a distinct memory of driving home in the car. She doesn't really remember watching the movie, but she remembers driving home in the car with my granny and granddad singing all the songs.
Yeah.
And they, well, I never met my granny, but my granddad has a lovely voice, a really nice voice. Aww. But yeah, he's like super into musicals. He's super into like musicals and music, but nothing after the 1960s.
Sure.
He famously says that the Beatles like killed music and he refuses to, which is.
Oh man.
Like, don't say that in front of other people, please.
That's
granddad.
A keep to yourself opinion, granddad.
That's not a thing you share in a taxi kind
absolutely,
of a thing.
Absolutely. I get that completely. Interesting. That's lovely.
Yeah.
My mum has a similar story about, it's not The Wizard of Oz, The Sound of Music.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, Sound of Music is a really good one.
It's
another one like that that's like in your childhood.
I think Julie Andrews is just in my childhood.
What
like
a woman.
Like even like Princess Diaries.
Oh, man.
Princess Diaries 2.
Did you hear engagement. There's a third one coming?
I absolutely did, yeah. I'm very excited.
If she's not in it, I'll be upset.
I know.
She has to be.
She has to be. Absolutely. I'd say she will.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about Mary Poppins Returns again for a second. I was a little bit sad. Do you know at the end? Well, no, Andrew will attest to this. I spent the entire movie sobbing.
Oh, fair.
Because it was just too much emotion on my little body for like, you know, this is my childhood and now. And also Lin-Manuel Miranda, like,
oh,
hello,
yeah.
Hi, how you doing? You're like invading my childhood. Okay, yes, you have a monopoly on all of my feelings in the world now. Okay, got it. you didn't want to stop it in the Heights. That's okay. I cried for the entire film, but when Angela Lansbury comes out at the end,
stop. Yeah,
I was the tiniest bit upset because I saw like the corner of like when she's like revealed, isn't there like a balloon in front of her face? And, like,
yeah,
and it kind of moves, and I saw like an old woman, and I like gasped. I was like, Julie Andrews.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't that have been so lovely?
That would have been amazing.
But I'm kind of glad she didn't as well.
But I think it's kind of an interesting, because I think the thing, because obviously they had Dick Van Dyke.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. I did not realize until I watched Mary Poppins Returns that Dick Van Dyke played the old Mr. Drawers in the first movie.
Did you not?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I saw an interview with him talking about how he had to put like on like loads of makeup in the first film, and I was like, what?
Like, when?
But yeah, and even that, like in that scene as well, when he comes out, like I felt really emotional, and my sister, because it was just kind of like, and the fact that he was like tap dancing and like he's 90 years old.
Oh my God. It's like, it's this really lovely like continuity between the two things that kind of like makes it feel, and there were a few of those. Now we're just talking about the movie. I don't really even care. There's one bit, the girl who played Jane.
Yes.
In the original.
Oh, she was.
She was in it. Yeah. And she says, I'm looking for, you know, and they give her like directions to her house. And then she goes, many thanks, sincerely. And that's what they write at the end of the letter when they're looking for a nanny. And I just cried. I was like, that's her line.
You know, I like that you had that reaction to it. I didn't cop. I was like, this is such a point. Like, what is it? This
why is she saying sincerely? They just gave her directions to a house.
I was like, why is it like this is like so close to the plot?
Yeah.
And then so I got it afterwards. Because the guy, little boy who played Michael, actually died when he was like 21.
I heard that. Yeah.
Of like hepatitis.
Yeah. One of those old-timey diseases.
Yeah, yeah, he got it in India, apparently.
Oh, God.
Which is, like, real sad. And really I think sad. He retired after Mary Poppins as well.
Yeah, wasn't he, like, just a child actor?
Because he and Kirsten Dorset, or who?
I know that name.
It's the, I can't remember who, Dorset, something Dorset mm-hmm. is the little girl who played Jane. But they had like been in a couple of movies together. Yeah, I remember when
they played like brother and sister.
Yeah, because yeah. I was so horrified at the fact that Michael had died. I was like, no.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
But it was funny as well because what we were saying about longevity. Because I have a little cousin who is 7, and my aunt took her to the Stella to watch mm-hmm. Mary Poppins Returns as like a little Christmas treat.
That is such a perfect
idea. I was so jealous.
Oh my God, why didn't I think of that?
And she loved it. And then she came up to like myself, my sister, and mm-hmm. my parents at Christmas, and we watched Mary Poppins. And it was the first time I'd seen it in a couple of years. And and even kind of getting to watch her watch it, because obviously yeah. like with kind of like childlike
like new eyes and
yeah,
like
exactly
yeah. and like the magic's
yeah. real, but like even from like a filmmaking point of view, it's so impressive. Like
it
I remember jumping, like trying to jump into like street art.
Oh yeah, or like trying to get like your toys to jump back into the toy box.
Stop.
Oh, and like snapping your fingers to yeah. get like your whole room to be tidy still doesn't work.
I know, yeah.
my mother, sorry.
But yeah, yeah, and I think even in the original, like I have as one of my favourite songs mm-hmm. is Jolly Holiday.
Jolly Holiday is such a tune. Will we play it?
Oh yeah,
let's have a listen to it. Gotta separate up this chat.
Do it, do it.
Okay, this is Jolly Holiday.
I did a glorious die, right as a morning in May. I feel like I could fly.
Now, bird, none of your larking about.
Have you ever seen the grass so green or a bluer sky? Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
You haven't changed a bit, have you?
When the day is gray and ordinary, Mary makes the sun shine bright.
Oh, honestly.
Oh, happiness is blooming all around her. The daffodils are smiling at the dove. When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band.
You are lightheaded.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary.
Mary makes your heart so light.
When the day is gray and ordinary, Mary makes the sunshine bright.
Oh, happiness is blooming all around her.
The daffodils are smiling at the dove.
When Mary holds your hand, you feel so grand. Your heart starts beating like a big brass band. It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
a jolly holiday with you, Bert. Gentlemen like you are few.
A vanishing breed, that's me.
Though you're just a diamond in the rough, Bert. Underneath your blood is blue.
Common knowledge.
You'd never think of pressing your advantage. Forbearance is the hallmark of your creed.
True.
A lady needn't fear when you are near. Your sweet gentility is crystal clear. Oh, it's a jolly holiday with you, Bert. A jolly, jolly holiday with you.
It's true that Mavis and Sybil have ways that are winning, and Prudence and Gwendolyn set you out spinning. Phoebe's delightful, Maud is disarming.
Janice?
Felicia?
Lydia?
Charming. Cynthia's dashing, Vivian sweet, Stephanie smashing, Priscilla a treat.
Veronica?
Millicent?
Agnes?
And Jane?
Convivial company, diamond again. Dorcas and Phyllis and Glynis are sorts. I'll agree with we jolly good sports, but cream of the crop, tip of the top, it's Mary Poppins, and there we stop.
I love those penguins.
I know.
They're the best freaking penguins. Like,
I mean, all penguins are good penguins.
All penguins are great penguins, don't get me wrong. Ooh.
But they're particularly good penguins.
Those are some good, good penguins.
That reminds me, have you ever seen the Benedict Cumberbatch thing?
Penguins.
Penglings, where he just can't say penguins.
He can't say anything.
And then he's like shown it on the Graham Norton show and he like has a crisis about it. He was like, what? He was like, nobody told me this in the edit.
No one told me about it. Like, surely you would know, like if you're the director or like the sound operator, what you're going to be like, excuse me.
Can you please try that again?
Mr. Cumberbatch, you're saying it wrong.
Wait. I didn't know that he like commanded that much fear that people were like afraid to correct him.
He was Smaug.
I mean, fair.
Yeah. I mean, Smaug's pretty scary. Okay, so. Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins.
Tell me more.
Okay, Mary Poppins. Yeah, so my little cousin, and she was something that she, like, I didn't cop onto, but when she said it to me, because she is obsessed with Mamma Mia.
Oh,
Mamma Mia,
yes,
too.
My child. Yep.
And, like, literally, her
mom.
Wasn't
it great?
Oh, it was amazing.
It was great.
Yeah, it
Sorry.
Was great.
Side note.
But, like, my aunt had to, like, have a fight with, because she wouldn't let my aunt, like, put in a Christmas CD around Christmas, because it was literally the Mamma Mia 2 soundtrack from, like, July to November.
That was me.
And my uncle as well is like, he's like, I can't put like share my Spotify like when I'm out with my mates because it's just all like share. And like, and whenever actually that Fernando, because Cher sings that in the second one, but when my little cousin sings it, she sings it as Cher, so it's like a mini Cher impersonation.
Oh my god.
And but what
that's
she
so pure.
Yeah, what she noticed, she was like, because Julie Walters is in it, Colin Firth is in it, mm-hmm. Meryl Streep is in it. And they were all in Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was like one of the first things that she remarked. I was like, oh, yeah, cool.
That is hilarious. Yeah. I didn't like Colin Firth's character.
No, nobody would unless.
Meanie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all just capitalism.
Yeah. But he was like, the weirdest thing about it was I was like, oh, my God, this is a children's film. And like normally like a villain is just like outwardly 100% a villain and everyone knows the bad guy.
Yeah.
But he was like really nice to them.
Yeah.
And then really mean behind their backs. I was like, whoa.
It's a bit too much
are
like real
life. Are we setting them up to like not trust anybody? I was like, I mean, I appreciate it. I would have appreciated if they'd said it when I was a kid,
just
but you know.
Creating a wave of like much more cynical.
Self-aware and scared kids really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. It's okay. We'll... they'll be fine. What were you going to tell me about Singing in the Rain? You told me to...
Oh, yeah.
You had an anecdote about Singing in the Rain.
Just because I was talking to my granddad at Christmas about Mary Poppins. And he's like a really... a massive knowledge about films and like...
amazing.
Especially old films.
Yeah.
But
because after the Beatles, all films were shit.
Oh, after the 60s, all media just like,
oh wow,
that was it. Like,
he's missed out on so much.
He really has.
Aww.
But yeah, what he was saying was, he very casually dropped into conversation. He was like, "Oh, I met Donald O'Connor in Donegal Town in the pub in the it was either the 80s or 90s, and Donald O'Connor was I can't remember the character's name. Cosmo.
Yeah.
Was that his name in
Singing in the Rain?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he was basically the guy that wasn't Gene Kelly in, and obviously not Debbie Reynolds.
The other dude.
Yeah.
The one in between.
In Singing in the Rain. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And he was an old man at this stage. Mm-hmm. And kind of like, you know, his prime would have been in the 1950s when he was young.
Sure.
But my granddad is just like, has a very good knowledge on film and recognized him immediately and like went up to him and like bought him a pint and had a pint with him.
Fair play.
And he was saying as well that like, he was like, nobody ever recognizes me ever. And he was like, this is the last place on the planet I thought I'd get recognized. My granddad was like, yeah.
Welcome to Donegal.
Welcome to Donegal.
I love it. I love it. That's cool. So cool. Right, back to Mary Poppins.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you saw the show on Broadway.
I did, yeah.
Tell me about that.
It was amazing. So it was when I was 11. And my family went just on like a holiday to New York for 2 weeks.
I'm so jealous.
It was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
Very lucky 11-year-old. But my mum bought, it was either that or The Lion King. And okay. I actually have never fully watched The Lion King.
Do you know what? You're in good company. I hadn't seen The Lion King at all until I was in third year, like in school. And then even then I was like, I don't really get all the hype.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because at that stage I read Hamlet.
Oh.
And
oh,
I was right. Like, I was like, this is just Hamlet with lions.
Yeah.
I read this story before.
I'm sorry.
Like, I get it. The songs are great. Songs are super great. And I saw the stage show before I saw the movie.
Yeah.
Which was kind of strange order to do it in.
I mean, obviously, like, the Broadway rendition of it.
Like,
is
the show's
to be
amazing. It's iconic.
But I didn't have that like childhood connection to
exactly
it.
You weren't like invested in it like that way.
So we went to see Mary Poppins, and I remember like the set was amazing. It was like a massive doll's house, like,
yeah,
it was like if you cut like just basically a doll's house and you put it on stage and you could see all the rooms at once, and it was beautiful.
That's fabulous. I'm
so jealous. And that's like the only, it's the only kind of like, I haven't like seen any West End shows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was really cool, and obviously like seeing it on Broadway as well.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
And Mary Poppins went like flying through the
auditorium, like,
yeah, like on a wee rope.
Did she have an umbrella?
She did, yeah.
Classy. Yeah. I love that umbrella.
Also integral to the whole.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I mean, she couldn't fly without the umbrella.
That's true. Is that like, is that canon? is it the umbrella that can fly?
Yeah. That's okay. How she can fly.
Okay, I understand.
With little
so she can't just go flying away with it.
No.
That
no.
makes sense.
No, no, no.
That
no.
makes sense. Can I play a song?
Go for it.
Can it be one that I want to play?
Sure, it's your
can
song.
Can it be... I've had to change my mind now. Oh, no. It's okay. We've loads of time. We can play more. But can it be The Life I Lead?
Yes.
Hold on.
That's actually on my list.
Amazing.
Because I think it like it sums up that character so well.
It really
well.
Does. The first one like, or the reprise?
The first one. Because it's like, it kind of tells you all you need to know about
Wait,
that
it's
character.
It's reprised twice. Do you know the one at the end with Dick Van Dyke? I think that's the one I want to play. Do you know when
I'll
he's in
it,
the
yeah.
sitting room? Yeah.
But basically it's the same. It's like a really good summation of that character.
It's brilliant, and he's so complex.
Yeah,
so complex.
Even the way he sings it, it's so clipped and
it
like
is.
Orderly. And
yeah,
like,
and he's like, well, this is a note, and this is a note, and it can't go out of its boundaries.
Because with Sister Suffragette, you kind of get an insight into the mother, who's
and she's
just like
wacky. And we played that at the start. You guys heard that at the start. I love Sister Suffragette.
It's great. It's really
we
great.
Were just talking about when it was playing. You know, all the little bits in it that you don't get when you're a kid, and then you're listening back to it, like the bit where she goes, "Though we adore men individually, we agree that as girls we're rather stupid."
My mum loves that bit.
I love it so much. Like you never get it when you're a kid. You're like, what? But then, like, as an adult, you're like, indeed, I agree.
You live a bit of life and you're like, oh, yeah.
Yes, all those stupid men.
I get that, right?
Hashtag not all men. Let's listen to the last one. It's like, it's slow and Dick Van Dyke's in it for a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Who am I to deny some Dick Van Dyke?
That's fair.
You know?
A man has dreams of walking with giants, to carve his niche in the edifice of time, before the mortar of his zeal has a chance to congeal. The cup is dashed from his lips, the flame is snuffed a burning. He's brought to rack and ruin in his prime.
Life is a rum go, Governor, and that's the truth.
You know what I think? It's that woman, Mary Poppins. From the moment she stepped into this house, things began to happen to me.
Mary Poppins?
Yes, of course.
My world was calm, well-ordered, exemplary. Then came this person with chaos in her wake. And now my life's ambitions go with one fell blow. It's quite a bitter pill to take.
It's that Poppins woman. She did it.
I know the very person you mean. Mary Poppins. She's the one what sings,
a spoonful of sugar, that is all it takes. It changes bread and water into tea and cakes.
See, that's exactly what I mean. Changing bread and water into tea and cakes, indeed. No wonder everything's higgledy-piggledy here.
A spoonful of sugar goes a long, long way. Have yourself a healthy helping every day.
An healthy helping of trouble, if you ask me?
You know what you did? I realize it now. She tricked me into taking Jane and Michael to the bank. That's how all the trouble started.
Tricked you into taking the children on an outing?
Yes.
Outrageous. A man with all the important things you have to do. Shameful.
You're a man of high position, esteemed by your peers. And when your little tykes are crying, you haven't time to dry their tears and see them grateful little faces smiling up at you. Because their dad, he always knows just what to do.
Like you say, Governor,
you've got to grind, grind, grind at that grindstone. Though childhood slips like sand through a sieve, and all too soon they've up and grown, and then they've flown, and it's too late for you to give. Just that spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down.
Well, goodbye, Governor. Sorry to have troubled you.
Honestly, that song is like a lullaby.
It's lovely. I forgot when you were saying about the reprise with him. I was like, what was that? But yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah. It's after the Chimney Sweeps have like wrecked their house.
And
Dick Van Dyke's just standing there. Yeah. David Tomlinson is such a pet. And like Mr. Banks has such an interesting story. He's such a complex character. And you like when you're a child, you look at him and you're like, mean dad, old guy.
And then you grow up.
You grow up and you're like, man,
life's hard.
Life is real hard. And it's actually really, really interesting. So Josephine hasn't seen Save Mr. Banks.
No, I haven't.
But it is so, so good. I think it's still on Netflix.
I didn't know if it was I'm on right. Netflix.
Did you know? Did you hear they're bringing Mamma Mia back to Netflix? As soon as good. I saw that news, I was like, Josephine. Me and Josie used to have a tradition of just watching Mamma Mia
about once a week,
just with a glass of wine
or cranberry juice.
No, both.
Oh,
white
yeah.
wine and cranberry juice. White do you remember? Cranberry. Yeah.
What a combination.
That was a bad time. So in Saving Mr. Banks, it's this really, really interesting story, and it's about P.L. Travers, who wrote the books, who I know Josephine knows lots about. So we come to that in a moment. And it's so interesting. It's like the story of how Walt Disney, played by Tom Hanks, kind of entices her to allow them to get the rights and, you know, make this film. And she is really like, she's quite a stick in the mud about, you know, she's very opposed to them making Mrs. Banks suffragette. She's like, no. and, you know, like, she has say on everything, and they ship her out to Hollywood. And of course, you know, she's quite a British woman, and she's not very suited in LA. And it's got an actually brilliant cast. She's Emma Thompson is P.L. Travers. Tom Hanks is Disney. Bradley Whitford's in it. Just thought that would like
nice
excite you.
West Wing, yeah.
A nice little West Wing reference. he's very good in it, actually. But it's so, so interesting, because it actually, you know, there's this one line in Disney says something along the lines of I think they're talking about the umbrella, and he goes, how else is Mary Poppins supposed to come and save the children? And P.L. Travers looks at him and she goes, you think she's coming to save the children? You don't understand my story at all. And it's so, so interesting, because when you do look at it, she's not there for the children.
No.
She's there for their dad.
Yeah.
And she changes, she doesn't change them. She changes the dad, and she, you know,
that's
makes
why,
him realize. It's such a lovely story.
Let's Go Fly a Kite is one of my favorite songs, because that's just such a nice,
it
when
really
he kind
is.
Of realizes what is actually important.
What's
which
important
is his
in life.
Kid. And
exactly.
It's lovely, because there was that kind of icy emotional distance between him and his kids throughout the whole film, which is like, even when the whole nanny, when they were writing the song, and you could even see in like the mother's face that she was like not pained, but like she could notice it as well, and the kids just really wanted to like connect with her.
They really do, and that's the thing. It's like it's quite upsetting, you know, like when you look at that and you kind of say like, no, listen to them. They
similarly
want to talk
to Sound of Music, Julie Andrews.
Yeah, exactly.
Julie
doesn't
Andrews
do anything for the kids.
Brings families together.
Brings
what a woman.
Absolutely.
Or just tells 15-year-olds
that
they're
princess of a fictional European country.
Yeah, with a very catchy national anthem, which
sounds very like Oh Canada. It was on over Christmas, and I was like, man, this is really just Oh Canada.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, about like
P.L.
Travers, because I don't think people really like, because I didn't know they were books until kind of recently enough. But I was on YouTube, and because I had watched like, so like David Mitchell is like one of
the
my
man, the myth, the legend,
like is the love of my life.
He's
like
a wonderful man.
I love him so much. He makes me so. There are hour long edits on YouTube of him ranting on like panel shows, like Would I Lie to You or QI or whatever. I have seen them all multiple times. He's great. He and Lee Mack, they're just great. But his wife is a lady called Victoria Corin Mitchell, and she's really cool. She's won like the poker world championships.
Has she?
Like, she's an amazing poker player, but she also makes documentaries.
She hosts Just Connect.
Yeah,
Only Connect. Only
that's
Connect.
That's it. Yeah,
that's the
that
one.
Quiz show. But she, when Saving Mr. Banks came out, so like 2015, 2016. She made a kind of documentary about P.L. Travers, which is on YouTube, which I watched. And it was, it was because she had quite a dark kind of history herself. Like, she was a very complicated woman. But then again, like, it was a year, like decades of Walt Disney trying to
make the
film.
Yeah.
And she was like very protective over it, because she didn't want it, again, to kind of put that Disney kind of gleam over
Mickey
it.
Mickey Mouse
kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And
which you can understand, you know, when it's like a very personal story to you. And it's like, this is, you know, because there's a lot of precedent that she based it off her own life and everything. And when it's like your own story, like, you can be very kind of protective of it. And you can say that, like, okay, Disney makes amazing movies and whatever, but like, they do trivialize a lot of things purely because they're for children.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she also had an issue with, like, Americans taking it over as well, which is
I mean, don't we all?
and then again, because she didn't originally approve of Julie Andrews because she was like, she's way too pretty.
Yeah.
She is, like, way too pretty. And she said mm-hmm. that. Julie Andrews says that's what she said to her as well, like, on the phone. And Julie Andrews was like, oh, okay.
I mean, thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, no, and... because I remember there was in that documentary, they had tapes because she insisted on everything being recorded.
Being taped, that's in Saving Mr. Banks as well, yeah.
She insisted. So the Sherman brothers who did the score for it, they would would just try to play a song for her and she would stop them a million times. And they were so patient with her.
Yeah.
Like, I would have decked her. Because she was just like, because like when you watch it, you're like, she was a pain. Like she was annoying. Yeah. But
because it was a labor of love for her.
Oh, 100%. Like, I completely understand. But I also, like, really respect that as well because she was, like, a one woman coming to America, like, this whole massive corporation and her being like,
and
you know what, no.
Mostly men,
yeah. Mostly men. In the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, which, more power to her.
Yeah, wasn't a great, you know, wasn't a great time.
Exactly.
You know,
I turned my own microphone off. Whoops.
That's all right.
Exactly.
But yeah, so she was I'd like to read the books because
me too. Whenever I get, you know, any time to do anything other than college work.
Yeah, exactly. Read anything, but you know.
Yeah.
James Joyce.
Hey James. You mentioned the Sherman brothers there.
Yeah.
Bob and Richard Sherman. Wonderful, wonderful music in this, in the film and in the show. I it's so iconic.
Yeah.
And I keep coming back to Saving Mr. Banks now, but there's a really interesting bit. They're writing Spoonful of Sugar.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they have the melody kind of going, when it's in the chorus, it's like, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And on down, they have the melody going down. They go, why does this sound strange? And then they think about it in terms of Mary Poppins. You know, she slides up the banister. She doesn't slide down the banister. Right, go up. So it's like, the medicine, go down. It goes up. It doesn't go down. It's fantastic. And like, from a music point of view, like, that kind of word painting and kind of
attention to
subverting.
Detail.
Exactly. Attention to detail. It's so interesting. It's fabulous. We play another song.
Yeah,
let's play another song. What will we play?
Actually, it's funny because that's another thing that I really like about Mary Poppins is that there's such a range in terms of the songs.
There really is.
So there's, you know, there's like Jolly Holiday, there's Supercalifragilistic, but
then there's
also
like Feed the Birds.
That's one of my favorite songs. I love that song. I think it's beautiful. So
Feed the Birds and Stay Awake. They're they're gorgeous.
And
so
also
Feed the Birds.
It like shows off Julie Andrews as like
it so does her voice. Her ability to just be so diverse.
Yeah.
Which she still has.
She does.
Write me how to do this. Come on, Julie Andrews, tell me your secrets. Okay, let's go with Feed the Birds. Tuppence a bag.
Early each day to the steps of St. Paul's, the little old bird woman comes in her own special way to the people she calls. Come feed the little bird, show them you care, and you'll be glad if you do. Their young ones are hungry, their nests are so bare, all it takes is tuppence from you. The birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a bag. Feed the birds, that's what she cries, while overhead her birds fill the skies. All around the cathedral, the saints and apostles look down as she sails. She's calling to you. Feed the birds, tuppence a bag, tuppence, tuppence, tuppence a
It is really such a diverse soundtrack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, fabulous. Right. Speaking of soundtracks, let's talk a little bit about Mary Poppins Returns, the music from Mary Poppins Returns. Famously, all done by Lin-Manuel. This is so annoying. When I talk about him in real life, I'm fine.
Yeah.
When I talk about him on my radio, I can't say his name. Lin-Manuel Miranda. My mother will slag me to high hell for that because she can never say his name. And I'm always like, Mum, it's Lin-Manuel Miranda. I got it that time. Okay. So, what's your favourite song from the sequel?
My favourite song is Covers Not a Book.
Okay.
Definitely. Because I thought it was just, I know, musically it's just so interesting. And I also love how her accent goes from like very clipped and polished upper class English to then immediately Cockney.
Such a change.
And it's just like at one point where she goes, I go on there. I just loved it.
Yeah.
And then also, because when I went into the cinema, I was like, how are they going to incorporate like Lin-Manuel Miranda rapping into Mary Poppins, which is set in like 1935?
Yeah.
And then in that, they had that whole the king, the dirty rascal or whatever. And it's such like, the rhythm of it is just like
fabulous.
And like the whole syntax of it is really cool.
It's so him, you know, you know, very much so. But in the same way, like it's not, do you know, like sometimes like I kind of feel like, say like if you look at like Hamilton and Moana at the same time, and if you look at like where The Rock raps in Moana, like there you can see that there's the very similar type of like rap style and everything, but I was kind of like, you can't inject that into
it's kind
this
of like
context, and he does it in such a fresh
in
way.
A really fresh way, but it's not in a way that's kind of like, he's really well known for this thing, so we're gonna stick it in something and it's gonna be really unnatural, but it's gonna
it was like, it was really organic, it was really fluid, and it was just like a lovely little touch.
Yeah.
Do you know? And it just was like a very like little, here's a little sprinkling of him doing what he's really good at. But also, like, he's fab. Full stop. You know what I mean?
And it was cool that like, also, they got an American.
Mm.
And also, actually, that's a really cool thing about the film, was like nicely diverse as well.
Absolutely.
Like, because I was also, because obviously the first film was made in the 1960s.
Yes.
But yeah, it was just, as you were saying, fresh. And I was kind of like, especially if you've loved the original film so much.
Yeah.
Because I, not that I didn't expect to like the music, but I was kind of stumbling like, no music will be as good.
As good as the original.
But I really enjoyed it.
Which is completely fair. Yeah. No, I was so happy. And it felt really well as like an homage to the original.
Yeah.
More than like they tried to like remake it,
yeah,
which
exactly.
was so nice,
which is because like part of me was like, I really hope they play Super Fragile. Supercalifragilistic. But then they didn't. But like, that would have been tacky. That would have been really tacky. It really would have been. And it wasn't. I think that what was nice about Mary Poppins Returns is it wasn't tacky. It wasn't cliche. And it wasn't. Like, there was really nice, as you were saying, homages to the first. Like, when they had that light switch song, which is like very much the step in time.
Yeah.
And like different stuff. And then when they went to see Meryl Streep, that was like the guy I love to laugh.
Yeah.
Who, fun fact, he is the grandfather of the actress who plays young Tanya in Mamma Mia 2. And she was also Heather. What's the lead Heather? Like the
Heather.
Main.
I want to
say. I know, the one who dies first.
Morris?
I think no, so. I don't know. I'm it's the wrong. Like the main Heather at the start of the musical. She played her as well.
Oh my god.
So I didn't all know ties that. In,
that's very interesting. I liked it took me a minute to get into Meryl Streep's scene. I was like, this is a little odd.
Same.
But once you're in there, you're like, I appreciate this.
I know. And I also just loved the idea of like Miranda Priestley and
And Donna just
No, but like, because Emily Blunt was in Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, and that
was
of course.
Which John Krasinski famously saw like 17 times.
Of course.
And like on his first date with Emily Blunt was just like, I love you.
I think you're amazing.
Yeah.
They're fantastic. I could do a whole hour on how much I love the two of them together.
Exactly.
Right. We do a really quick fire.
Go for it.
All right. So first question is, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song is Feed the Birds.
Okay, amazing. Who's your favorite character?
That's like changed as I've like grown up.
Oh, I love it. Okay, who was your favorite character when you were little?
Mary Poppins.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay, and what's it changed to?
It has changed to Mr. Banks.
I'm exactly the same. Yes.
Because I don't want to say I relate to Mr. Banks because that's a bit
like,
sad.
But like, you can get the kind of like, life has hardened him. He's very cynical.
He is. And he is, at the end of the day, he is trying to do the best for his children and his family. And and you also see that as you get older, is that she is there to save Mr. Banks.
Exactly.
And kind of like fundamentally help fix their family in that way.
And like, you see it again in the sequel.
Exactly,
because,
yeah.
Like, Michael literally has grown up to be like his dad.
He has. And but he's under so much pressure as well.
Really,
and so
is
Mr. Banks. And like, life is hard. And, you know.
But like, it really shows you, like, I mean, that almost kind of upset me at the start. I was like, oh, so Michael is just like, you know, because they're like, he sits there and he's like, the things that we saw when we were children, they weren't real.
I know.
There wasn't actually magic. And you're like, yes, there was.
I know.
Stop not believing it. Like, and I loved how they framed that shot as well, because he's sitting on the sofa talking to Jane and he's like, there wasn't actually magic. And just in the background, you see Mary Poppins just flying
I know.
Up the banister. I was like, ha ha.
And I love that, because she comes again, not to do with the children, when the dad is in a really like crucial, hard kind of like stage.
Yeah, really stressful situation.
Yeah.
I also loved how they kind of pointed like how they showed the kids as like, you know, how much they were very mature.
Yeah.
Do you know that the little kids, because of their mom
dying,
sadly dying, that like, and that's like a real that's a reality
and
of
I think
things,
really,
you know, if something happens to you when you're that young, you know, you become very, very mature very quickly, or you don't, you know, you go one of two ways.
Yeah. And I think the song, it's like Where the Lost Things Go as well.
God,
it's really nice.
Cry.
And I can imagine, like, if you have lost a parent
and
you're watching that, especially if you're young, like it's a really nice
very
message.
Upsetting.
But very sad, very upsetting. But yeah.
Lovely overall. Okay, right. This is supposed to be quick fire and we've had like a 3 minute chat about that. What's your favourite quote?
My favourite quote is, childhood slips like sand through a sieve, and all too soon they've grown up and they've flown. Because do you ever kind of get that where you're kind of, you're looking back and you kind
she's
of
about
like
to cry, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm really not.
I might.
Because I remember like being small and being a child and, well, specifically being a teenager, being like, I can't wait to grow up.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go to college. I can't
wait
to.
When I'm this old, I'll be able to do this.
And then
You wish your life away and your parents are like, stop, stop, stop. And you're like, no.
And then you wake
to.
Up and you're like 20 and you realize that like, it's your childhood goes very quickly.
Yeah.
And
the
think,
like excuses time as well. Cause like now it's like, okay, you're old. Come on,
exactly.
Have some responsibility. And
even
and
like my sister is like now 17.
Yeah.
And like my little cousin who I'm very close to is 7. And it's really nice even watching her, cause not to sound like a crotchety like hopper who's like technology, but like, you know, kids it is different for kids now. Yes. Like, there is a lot more technology. But with my little cousin, she's very imaginative and she plays with dolls and she kind of has that like childlike curiosity and that childlike kind of
I hope that's never
stuff.
Lost. I don't think it will be. I think it's so inherent to
children. Exactly.
But
but being a child is, it's nice.
It's lovely.
It's kind of, it's a nice cushy kind of, well, for some people if you're lucky enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you never really get that back. And when you're small, you're always like, no, I'll always enjoy the things I enjoy now. And then you go up and you're like,
I don't actually have the time.
Building blocks lose their appeal.
Where's my Lego?
I know.
Okay, well, Josephine, it's absolutely lovely having you on.
Thanks
so
much
for
having me. I had a very nice time.
Thank you.
Gushing about Julie
Andrews. It's been just lovely. It's been a really lovely time. We've got to finish on my favourite song. And
my second favourite
song.
Your
second favourite song? Fantastic. It's the last song in the movie. It's Let's Go Fly a Kite. I'm going to go fly a kite because I think it's windy today. All right.
Alrighty.
See you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
With tuppence for paper and strings, you can have your own set of wings. With your feet on the ground, you're a bird in flight. With your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh, let's go fly a kite up to the highest height. Let's go fly a kite and send it soaring up through the atmosphere, up where the air is clear. Oh, let's go fly a kite. When you send it flying up there, all at once you're lighter than air. You can dance on the breeze over houses and trees with your fist holding tight to the string of your kite. Oh.